a lot of our Latino attorneys at Duane Morris are also dually and sometimes triple admitted in three different jurisdictions. As a lawyer, that gives you a different perspective and it opens your mind to see different ways to solve a client's problems, to address a transaction, to address a trial. The law is structured in two different jurisdictions. It gives you a different point of view that not anyone can have.
Hello, and thank you for joining us this week on Duane Morris DEI 360 with Joe West. I'm Yumika Anderson Howard, Diversity, Equity, and Inclusion Manager at the firm. On today's episode, we're happy to have joining us from our New York office, corporate partner, Rosa Ertzay. Joe and Rosa discusses her thriving international practice, as well as her leadership of the Attorney, Hispanic, and Latino Employee Resource Group.
Hello, this is Joe West. I am a partner at Duane Morris. I'm the firm's Chief Diversity, Equity, and Inclusion Officer. I always love the chance to chat with members of the firm who are doing great things inside the firm and out. And with me today is Rosa Ertzay. Rosa is an absolutely fantastic partner in the corporate group based in New York, but she's all over the world. So Rosa, how are you doing, my friend?
Thank you, Joe. I'm doing quite well, and you?
I'm doing great. So one of the many hats you wear at the firm, Rosa, is you help lead our Hispanic, Latina, and Latino employee resource group, one of the amazing ERGs we have at Duane Morris. And I say this even within earshot of the other ERGs, probably the most active of all of our ERGs. And so I want to start, if you don't mind, talking a little bit about the ERGs, particularly the Hispanic Latino ERG. What are some of the things that have come your way in terms of programming? And what's some of the things that you're focused on through that particular ERG? And talk a little bit about its value to the firm, to its employees, to our business as well.
Of course. Thank you, Joe. Yes, you're quite right. I think we are the most active ERG. And, you know, we Latinos, when we all get together, we get right away to work and with a lot of ideas. The ERG was created, as you know, in the middle of the pandemic. So it first started as a way to connect with each other and to know each other, because there was a lot of attorneys that were laterally coming into the firm that have not met anyone else in person. So at first it was just, you know, a forum where we will, you know, get to know each other, get to know our practice groups. And then dynamically, it naturally started merging and converting into a place to develop business together, to do cross-selling, and to do a bunch of initiatives. So we have done many things. We've done put together a directory of all our Latino attorneys in the firm. We have over 40 Latino attorneys in the firm now. We have exchanged business plans with each other. We created a mentorship program in addition to the one that the firm has, you know, in each practice group and within the diversity and inclusion committee, the mentorship that we have one within our own ERG. So on top of that, we have also tried to push our young associates to be, you know, to give them advice with respect to whatever matters they're working on how to express, you know, certain concerns, to help them navigate through, you know, through the big law matters and the big law dynamics. And we've also created a group of very active Latino attorneys that have undertaken the responsibility to see in which organizations we can have a presence as a firm that cares about the Hispanic Latino community, which now has a great GDP in the United States, an important part of the GDP in the United States. You know, Spanish is the language, the number two language that's spoken in the United States. And a lot of executives, businesses, and entrepreneurs are Latino themselves. Mm-hmm. So there is a potential for growth and for business from the Latino community get exponentially. And I think in part is deriving from the political situation in the Latin American countries, when right now we're currently living an influx of capital, Latin American capital coming into the United States. You know, high net worth individuals, companies, family offices that want to invest here, and they want to invest with someone they trust, with someone they like, with someone that understands their culture.
Mm-hmm.
So on top of that, you know, lately we've been also, in addition to all the trying to get the organization and the presence of the firm, we've been many initiatives for Hispanic Heritage Month. We have in each of the offices trying to put together a way to celebrate with everyone, you know, staff and attorneys, the culture. And we're putting together also a webinar for November with top executives that are Latinos for them to tell us their success stories as top executives and the companies they all lead in the United States. That's in a nutshell.
that's absolutely fantastic. Rosa, as you were talking, I was thinking about a lot of the work that I do with our clients in our diversity consulting practice. And I talk a lot about the changing demographics, particularly in the US. The Latino population is the fastest growing.
Yep.
And has been for the last several decades. Talk about what that means in terms of where we're headed as a country and the need for us to be more mindful of diverse communications generally, but particularly the Latino population and the Latino community and how that translates across the business spectrum.
Mm-hmm. I mean, I personally think that the Latino community in the United States has always been overlooked. Like we're always, you know, the last ones that cry out for help. I think it's part of our personality that we just work hard, put our heads down and go forward. But I think it's time, the times are changing. And now we are the ones responsible. And I feel personally responsible as a Latino in the firm to be the one, you know, raising my hand and wanted a seat at the table and wanted, to be heard and to open the eyes of, you know, the firm and our clients of the potential business opportunities that come from having more Latinos that are not only, you know, hardworking and bilingual and bicultural, but also that now identify themselves with the business community that has an influx in Latin cultures and the immigrant Latinos in the United States.
Well, listen, I spent, as you know, 5 years in-house at Walmart, Fortune 1, the largest company in the world. And that company understood quite well, not just the demographics of the Latino population, but the buying power as well, the commercial influence of that particular demographic, which I think is something that people underappreciate, as you said.
Well, also I think that, you know, like in our parents' era, the immigrants and mostly the Latino immigrants in the United States, they wanted to fit in. They wanted to be another American. Do not speak Spanish. Don't let anybody look at you different or be different. And, you know, there's a generation that, you know, sadly was, you know, lost part of the language and the culture that came from their countries. And now it's completely the opposite. It has been a 180 degree change that right. People want to embrace their culture, embrace the language because it is an added value.
That's, you know, right.
A lot of our Latino attorneys at Duane Morris are also dually and sometimes triple admitted in three different jurisdictions.
Mm-hmm.
So we have a number, I think over 15 attorneys that have not only license in the US, but also license in civil law jurisdictions. And that as a lawyer, that gives you a different perspective and it opens your mind to see different ways to solve a client's problems, to address a transaction, to address a trial, because you have been given because of the experience and the way that the law is structured in two different jurisdictions, it gives you a different point of view that not anyone can have.
Well, that's a good segue to your work and your practice. You do a lot of cross-border work. I've been at the firm, it'll be 7 years in January. I remember you as an associate and how impressed I was with you from the very beginning and how extraordinarily pleased I was when you made partner at the firm. And you are the person who I point to when I talk to other diverse lawyers and other lawyers who may not necessarily be diverse about what it means to really, really do a good job transitioning from an associate to a partner. Because as we know, the goal isn't to make partner. The goal is to be successful as a partner. So tell us a little bit about your practice, Rosa.
Yes, that's right. I mean, for me, you know, I think I've been in this firm 14 years, and I was the first Hispanic Latino women partner in the corporate practice group in the 14 years that I've been there. So since I was an associate, I was always pushing to have more diversity at the firm, more Latinos involved. And now I feel that it's my moral responsibility to lead our group. Not only, you know, because I love it. I am 100% committed as an immigrant here to make the most out of it. But my practice, it's as you say, cross-border. I represent Mexican clients doing business in the United States. You know, one of my biggest clients, it's a big Mexican manufacturing company that now has operations worldwide. And we see all their matters in the United States, from litigation, employment, corporate, M&A, everything that comes investing in the United States, which as I said, there's a lot of capital coming into. So it's a very diverse practice also, because I also represent US companies doing business into Mexico and the rest of Latin America. You know, one of our other big achievements of our ERG and our firm as overall is our Latin American practice. We are now, you know, solidifying relationships through Brazil with the Verano firm, Costa Rica with the Tactic firm, with Brigard in Colombia, and with Elias Calles in Mexico. So we have now like a footprint in entire Latin America, not only with our in-house attorneys, but also with our friends, with our firm friends that are now very involved in some of our, you know, matters day to day. I'll give you an example. One of our, you know, clients that we've been representing them in Mexican matters for more than 20 years. In the past 4 years, we have now doing the same work in Latin America. We've been doing Panama, Colombia, Costa Rica. We act as their in-house arm to manage their Latin American operations. And you know, that's an example of how diverse my practice can become. And it's diverse because most of the transactions and the agreements are governed by New York law, but they're implemented, you know, in offices they open in Latin America, in stores, in sales they do, in employees they have in all these jurisdictions. So there's always a local law input there.
Rosa, let me get personal. Why did you become a lawyer?
Why I became a lawyer? I mean, I think I was very naive since I was very young. I wanted to change people's lives. I wanted to help people. I've always been motivated by doing what is right and just. I should have been a trial lawyer, maybe. Maybe if I would have started my career in the United States, I would have been. But I was born and raised in Mexico City. I did law school in Mexico City first. And then I did an LLM at Georgetown and then sat for the New York bar. And, you know, 16 years later, I'm here. And I used to be a figure skater in Mexico. At some point when I was graduating from high school, I knew I was not going to be an Olympic champion. Although I was a national champion in Mexico, I wasn't going to be an Olympic champion. So I had to decide between the law and figure skating. And I went up to the law.
I knew that about you. And it stole my thunder. Because I love sharing that in settings where people don't know that about you and watching their reaction. But I suspect being a world-class athlete and being a world-class lawyer, there are probably some similarities, right? There's lots of synergies there.
Lots of resilience, I can tell you for sure. Yes. And lots of a lot of effort and positive attitude.
Yeah. Exactly. So your journey to the U.S., was it through Georgetown? Was that your first foray?
From Georgetown, I went to Sidley Austin. I was at Sidley Austin as a foreign associate there for a year and a half. Mm-hmm. And then as I was asking to stay longer at Sidley, you know, a friend from high school told me there's another high school friend who used to work at Duane Morris. And she's going back to Mexico and they're looking for a lawyer that is admitted in Mexico and New York with experience in New York. And I went and interviewed there, and I love it. The first beginning when I, even the first lawyers that I met, well, of course, Eduardo, but also Michael Schwamm and Bob Hasday, I simply love the culture of the firm since day one. I even remember thinking when Michael Groman reached out to me and invited me for lunch, like, why is he inviting me? Like, that's weird that a partner puts so much attention. And it's true, like people do actually care in this firm, and they, and we care about our associates and how they're doing. And as partners, we reach out to them constantly to just to check in on them.
Well, I remember when the pandemic hit and we started doing our 3C calls with the diverse lawyers in the firm, where we would, once a week, we would talk about, I think the 3C stood for communications, continuity, and community.
Yes.
And at the end of the hour, we would always have six or seven mostly diverse associates just talking about what was going on in their lives and sharing what was happening with them. And I think that was one of the things that got a lot of us through the pandemic. It certainly was helpful to me. And it was the most glaring example of what our culture is like, to be honest with you.
Exactly. And the same for the ERGs, which that's why they helped. I mean, they helped all of us during the pandemic.
Well, and I think the ERG sort of grew out of that experience of us doing those calls, because
100%.
It really, really helped us understand what community was like, and it's continued ever since then. So we're almost out of time. I'll just ask one last question for you, Rosa, which is, and this is kind of an existential sort of question, right? I ask you what it was that prompted you to become a lawyer. If there's one thing about the profession itself that you would change, if you had a magic wand and you would say, this is the thing that I'd like to see changed just generally about our profession, what would it be?
So if I had a magic wand to change the profession, whatever I want, I will change it to have more women and more diverse attorneys in our ranks. And not only, you know, in general, the increase of the numbers, but in leadership positions. More Latinas. We need more Latinas in leadership positions. That will really change the landscape of the profession. You know, unfortunately, mostly the M&A, private equity, and finance world is still, we still have the majority of white men. And even though we're making big strides at Duane Morris, I think there's still much more work that we can still do to have more diverse people.
Rosa Erce, my friend, thank you so much for spending time.
It's always good to connect with you.
Thanks for everything you do for the firm as well.
No, thank you for leading our firm. You're like a great example, and we are honored to have you as our Chief Diversity Officer.
Oh, thank you, my friend. I appreciate it. Be well.
Thank you.